Good afternoon. So I thought we would at least meander one more day in that verse, but it may be just prelude to more to come, but that's just an astounding scripture to me. Jesus said he went to the cross to prepare a place for us in him, that so he could come and receive us to himself. I mentioned this yesterday. He repeated the same thing in chapter 17, near the conclusion of this upper room discourse. He says in verse 24, Father, those which you have given to me, I desire that where I am, there they also may be with me. In this part, that they may behold my glory. Read a few verses to you. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, it says, I'll just start in verse 6. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age, which is passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Not to his glory, of course it is, but to our glory. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, as soon as I get there. I shouldn't announce that, should I, until I get there, because then you have to watch me travel through Scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not saying give the glory, but that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:10. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. Twice in this short conversation, though it's four chapters in the Bible, it's a very short conversation if you're just speaking these words, and 10 minutes maybe? And for him twice to say that his desire is that where he is, we'd be with him. And the first time he says it, he says, I'm going to come and receive you to myself so that where I am there, you'll be also. And then he adds that second little part in that chapter 17. Father, that those you've given me, I desire that they will be with me where I am, they will be also, and they will behold my glory. When you talk about the glory of God, you know, the glory of God is the manifestation of his presence and his nature. But primarily, when we talk about God's nature, is his goodness. Now, it can be all kind of manifestations of that, like in power or in kindness or whatever, but it's still about his goodness, but it's his nature and his presence manifested. And so Jesus is saying, and if you read those, go back and read those scriptures in John 17, it's just chock full of, Father, I'm in you, I'm going to be in them, I'm in them, I'm in them. And he says, Lord, where I am, I want them to be. Where I am, they can be there also. I want them to behold my glory. I want them to experience living in an atmosphere, a perpetual environment, whatever this environment might be, but a perpetual environment that from the inside out, I'm manifesting my presence and my nature in them and on them, their life. And that they're called to participate in that. That's just extraordinary. Again, those verses that are really familiar. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the word hope doesn't mean the wish for glory. It's a Greek word that means a confident expectation. Christ in you, the confident expectation. Think about whatever situation you're walking into, whatever thing you're dealing with, if you live with a conscious, confident expectation of glory, because you're living from the inside out when you do that, you see. And then again, the Colossians chapter 3, you know, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, when Christ is your life is manifested moment by moment, you're manifested with him in glory. So just when I thought about this again today, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, what I can't get over, and I know you may get tired of hearing it, sorry, but until I die, you're going to hear it. And I can't get over the wonders of the new creation. See, I can't get over what it means to be saved, you know? And because you may say, well, Bishop, I hear this. I get it. Do you get it? Because get it isn't that you memorize the words. Are you living this? Is this your reality? Are you walking in the glory of Christ? Participating in the glory of Christ? This is that Craig Stahl loves this verse a lot too. This is chapter 5, verse 10 of Romans. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. That's how we're saved. We're saved because we were placed into his life. And we've said this 1,000 times, not just saved from what you've done, but saved from what you had become as a fallen person. So that means saved from all the yucky stuff that is the life, flesh life. You know, the attitudes, the coming up with excuses to try to defend your behavior. If it's not Christ-like, then there's no defense. But why would you want to? You're called to participate in his glory. And so when Jesus said, I'm come to receive you to myself, that where I am, you'll be also. He's not just talking about geographically. He's not just saying that wherever situation you're in or whatever you're doing, I'm there in the middle. That's where I am, and you happen to be, it's my life, it's my story, and you're there also in me. But he's also talking about his disposition, maybe primarily his disposition, that where I am, how I am, who I am, there you're going to be also. So if somebody does something to you and offends you, Jesus doesn't get offended. He didn't live an offended life. He didn't walk away and pout and behave and react. He didn't hold back. He didn't do that. You can't show that to me in Scripture, and therefore you can't create it in your own mind and say it's okay. Why would you want the excuse to walk in the sin? There's no joy in that. There's no glory in that. So this is the part where I think, Lord, your disposition. Well, I'll give an example. One time, someone got offended and kind of walked away from my sphere, not just from my life, but from my sphere. And I was just talking to the Lord about it. And the Lord said again to me, but now, this is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. He said he'll teach you all things, and his role is to teach us how to steward this life of Christ, how to participate in abiding in Christ. And the Holy Spirit again said to me, so what about this changes the truth about who Jesus is, and therefore who he is in you? Of course, nothing. So I stopped thinking and started listening about from Jesus' disposition towards that person, and Jesus said, I love them. I weep for them because of their brokenness that causes them to get offended and offended, offended, offended. But I'm going to bless them. I'm going to show them kindness and goodness. Because that's just who he is. Now, the Lord shows kindness and goodness to us, and sometimes we just blow through all that and mess things up anyway, but that's who he is. That's just an example of what I'm trying to say, that where he is, that's his glory. Where he is, we are also. He received us to himself so that we could actually experience who he is, where he is, mentally, emotionally, how he is, what he does, how he thinks, how he feels. That's the new creation. That's what it means to be saved. So you see, I can't get past that. I can't get past the wonder of all that because it affects the way I live every day. Because I get tempted to act out of my flesh often. And all it does is create internal chaos and often external chaos too, you know? But to think that I've been invited into his life so that where he is, I am also. And he wants that. The reason he wanted that so bad, he loves showing me his glory, sharing with me the glory. What I mean by that, I get to participate in it. He said, the gospel that was hidden for ages for our glory. We were created for that. We were created for glory, not griping, not grouchy, not grumpy. And so my prayer is, I said, Lord, sometimes I wish I could just unscrew people's heads or do hearts or open heart surgery and then stuff it in their heart or pour it into their brain that Jesus said through the Apostle Paul, do all things without murmuring or complaining. I don't know about you, but the word all means all. That's not restriction. That's freedom. Why would we want anything less? And you can't do that on your own just because you want to. The only way you can walk that out is because you've been grafted to somebody who didn't gripe, who doesn't complain. So one of the things I pray for CTK and CTKers is that God would bring people here who know that's not even the right word, that everybody who's here would want the real deal. They're here because they put all their eggs in that basket. They want to experience that and go from glory to glory. You know? Yeah, not from gripey to gripey or grumpy to grumpy, but go from glory to glory. You know, because I've done this long enough to watch people out of their brokenness just live from offense to offense or complaint to complaint or bitterness to bitterness or other issues, critical to criticalness, and they just waste their life, you know? They're wasting his life. They've been grafted into something better. And why would we settle for anything less than experiencing the manifestation of his glory in us? I've come to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, so that I may show you and reveal to you and share with you my glory. Man, that's the gospel. That's really good news. Do I have to be afraid anymore? Be anxious anymore? Be angry anymore? Be resentful anymore? Prideful anymore? Be envious anymore? Jealous anymore? That's amazing to me. That's my story. I think it's his. I'm sticking to it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.